It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to learn Divrei Torah. And we're going to do like we do every week. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point. As we know, in America, it's Parshas Naso, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Baloscha. And both of these parshas are so jam-packed. But again, we're going to ask questions and try to come out with that yesod. Just before we begin, I heard a gevaldik idea of why we just finished Shavuos, and now it's the week after Shavuos. And the question is, why on Shavuos are we learning the Torah, and on Simchas Torah, we are dancing with the Torah? Well, maybe it should be the opposite. So I heard a beautiful idea, again, not so connected to what we're going to talk about, but a nice idea, that the ideas like this, is that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, Naseh v'nishma, and they accepted the Torah, but they didn't know exactly what they were getting themselves into. They knew it was a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they didn't realize what it was all about. Only after delving into it, and learning, and working, and understanding Hashem's great Torah, as the Ramban writes in his Akdama to the Torah, that every single name, every single letter in the Torah is Shemos of Shel Hashem. Only then did they realize later how great it was. And a beautiful mashal that they use, that the king, he has a daughter, and the daughter, he says, I want to find the prince to marry my daughter, except there's one condition. The condition is you're not allowed to see my daughter before. So everyone's like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? She has so many problems. She's missing limbs. No way, no one's taking that chance. Except one guy. He takes that chance and he says, oh, it's the king's daughter. I'm going to go for it. And he gets to the chuppah and he's nervous. But then he sees that she's a beautiful girl and her midos are amazing. But then he starts to learn about her. And then only afterwards, a year later, he has a big simcha. The same thing, we're right after Shavuos now. We got the Torah. Now we have to start Lamaisa learning the Torah. We got to just keep on going and going. And then after we see how sweet it is, and again, we know how sweet it is. But after we delve ourselves, so Shavuos is that time that we get the Torah. It was the buildup of the Pesach. Going from the physical freedom to the spiritual freedom with the Torah. And now we have the Torah. And now we're just going to learn more and more about Hashem. And then we have the Simchas Torah, the completion of the Torah. And then we could dance because we see how beautiful it is. Wow, beautiful idea. Okay, now we got to talk about Divrei Torah for the Parsha. Parshas Naso and Parshas Baloscha. Again, there's so much here. Every idea could be its own shiur. So let's go slow. We know in Parshas Naso, there's a lot of different themes that are going on in Parshas Naso. We start off talking about Sota, about a woman that's not faithful. And then we talk about the Nazir. We spoke a little about what a Nazir represents. The idea of Kedusha, bringing on Kedusha to himself. And then the Torah tells us that we have the idea of the Nesiyim. We're going to make a connection between Naso and Baloscha, which Rashi does in the beginning of Baloscha. That's always the best, you know. We're trying to make some connection between America and Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi does it, so we're going to do that. Again, there's so many things to talk about. But we know that we're talking about the Nesiyim. And Rashi brings down in Perek Zayin, Pasuk, Gimel, and Dalet, that Rashi says that what's all the Nesiyim to give right now? We know that the Nesiyim, it's the same Karbonas going every single day. So ask Rashi in Pasuk Gimel, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, and also, what are the Nesiyim, why do they give now? So, and why do they not give at the construction of the Mishkan? So says Rashi, bringing down from the Medrash, that they said, you know what? The Nesiyim said, you know, you give what you can, and then whatever's missing, we'll take over. We'll complete it. Kaven Sharosh Shlimu Sibras Etzakol. Once they saw that the Sibur completed everything, Shenemar Ramlocha Isod Dayom. As the Torah tells us in Shemos, in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zayin, that everything was complete. What did they say? Hey, so therefore they said, we got to give. We got to give. We can't wait. But it's very repetitive, right? The end of Parshas Naso, we just keep on saying the same karbonos over and over and over again. So question one, what's the idea? Why? Just sum it all, put all the shvatim together, put it in two psukim, so many psukim, more, so many psukim, the same psukim over and over. It's easy for Shnai Mikri, you know, there's not so much Rashi on it. There's a little, but not so much. But what is it? Again and again and again. It seems so repetitive, and we know there's not even one extra letter in the Torah. So what is going on here? Why the Torah and Nesi'im, if every letter is precious in the Torah, it's the same karbonis over and over again. Question one, what's so special, what's so unique about all the Nesi'im? Question two, the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. Rosalvechik said that Parshas Bahaloscha is like a bee going and getting all his nectar and getting all the honey. There is so much. Again, Baruch Hashem, we have, you know, next week is going to be Bahaloscha in America, and then I do the whole connection thing. So again, Baruch Hashem. But again, Rashi brings down Paraches. Rashi asks the question between the correlation between Naso and Bahaloscha, right for us. Rashi says, the Torah says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemur. Hashem says to Moshe, Daber el Aharon, say to Aharon, Vamarte Lov, and say unto him, Bahaloscha es haneros. Come, kindle the lamps, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, and toward the face of the menorah, Ya'iru Shivas haneros. And you should have seven lamps. Ask Rashi in the beginning of Bahaloscha. Lama nismecha parshas haMenorah la parshas haNesi'im. Wow, just connection right away. We just asked one question on Nesi'im, on the princes. But ask Rashi, quoting down from the Medrash, that what's the connection? Rashi's doing it for us. Says Rashi, lefi kishero Aaron chanukas haNesi'im. Once Aaron saw that there was a chanukas haNesi'im, that there was an inauguration of the princes, chal shadaiso. He was very upset. He had chalishas adas. He felt very bad. Shalaya imoyim bechanuka lohu velo shvato. That his tribe, nor him, nor his tribe was there. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to him, Chayecha, I swear by your life, shelcha gedola mishalahem. That your role is going to be greater. Shata malik umetiv. For you're going to kindle and prepare es haneros. Now the question begs itself. Again, what's Rashi saying? Rashi's saying, why is the Nesi'im connected to the Ner? Aaron was upset, and he got the menorah. What is this menorah talking about? And Rashi says, the Lashon Shata Madlik Umetiv. He's able to kindle and prepare it. Wow. Like, what's so great about the Ners? And then Rashi says in the next Rashi, Bahaloscha, when you kindle, Al Shem Shahalahav Oileh, because the flame rises, Kasu Bahad Lakasan. That the Torah is talking about the kindling, Lashon Aliyah, it's rising. Shesarek Lahadlik, that you have to kindle, Ad Shedeh Ashalheves Oileh Me'aleh, until it goes by itself, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Aleph, the Od Darshu Rabu Seinu, and Chazal also say, Shemala Haisalafnei HaMenorah. There was a stair in front of the menorah. Shaleh Kohen Omid. The Kohen would stand umetiv, and then he would go and clean it out. And we know comes along Mizrahi, one of the Perushim on Rashi, and he says that both of these pshatim, one that the flame goes by itself, and furthermore that there was a step. Again, the menorah was not so high. I think it was 21 tefachim. It was not so high, but the Kohen would go, pick a ladder, look up, clean it out, and then it would prepare the lights. Says the Mizrahi, one of the big Perushim on Rashi, that both of these explanations are not arguing with each other. So, 2A and 2B is why, how did the menorah help Aaron? How did it appease him? And furthermore, according to Mizrahi, how did it get fixed up? Again, there's so much in Bahaloscha. Everything is jam-packed. But we know that there's something very interesting. The Torah goes on and tells us about the backwards nuns. The nuns, Vayhi ben Soa Aron Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem Afutzu Adecha V'yanusu Misanecha. We know that Chazal tell us that there are backwards nuns to separate the idea of Vayhi ben Soa Aron. Asks Rashi, quoting down again, it's Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Asked Rashi, Asalo Simanos, that what happened here? The Torah made signs, Milafano Ma'acharav, in front of it and after it, Lomar, to say, She'ein Zeh Mekomo, that it's not this place. It's in the wrong place. It shouldn't be here. V'loma Kosev Kan, but why was it written here? Why are we talking about that Klai Yisrael is taking the Aron and journeying with it? Right? We say, even so, Aaron, Vayomer Moshe, right? All the, we say it when we're getting the Torah. So why is that, Uvnocho Yomar? And when it's rested, he would say, Shubu Hashem, Revolt Alfei Yisrael. Reside tranquility. That's a, right? Big word, tranquility. Hashem, Revolt Alfei Yisrael, the thousands of Akla Yisrael. So why is that here? Says Rashi, quoting down from the Gemara on Shabbos. Right? It says that we want to make a separation between Peronius and Peronius. Between an interruption between one passage and the next. Why? Because it said right before it, it was talking about Vayisu Mehar Hashem, that they journeyed from the mountain of Hashem, a three-day journey, and they started complaining. And we want to make a separation of Perek Yud Aleph, Vayia Am Kisma Oninim. They were complaining about all the food, and they, and all this stuff, and they cried out to Hashem. And then Moshe Rabbeinu took a very active role here. So the question is, why specifically nuns? What are the nuns about? What is the sod? Why the separation? What were these sins? What is the separation? What's the Gemara talking about? It's like the Gemara goes as far as saying during Shabbos that it's a separate part. It's a separate portion of the Torah. The separate nuns. Well, what's this all about? Again, we got a lot to do. Let's just reiterate what we got. We got three questions, maybe four, but we'll call them three. Question one was the Nesi'im. They were giving the same thing over and over again. Just give me a sum up. A little, you know, two psukim sum up in all the Shvatim. Say their names, throw them in. But why so many psukim about the Nesi'im? Question one. Question two is Rashi and Bini Baloska shows us the connection between Parshas Naso and Baloska. Ah, Rashi's doing the work for us. And he says two interesting things. He says that Aaron was Chalishas Adas, he was very upset, and still Hashem appeased him by giving him a menorah. And furthermore, what is this all Baloska? Two Perushim, and it says Mizrahi, they're working within each other. And then the third question is these backwards nuns. What's these nuns all about? What is it all about? How is it a separation? What were these sins? What was it all about? So we're going to come out with a big yisod. We always say the big yisod, and it's always interrelated. Again, our whole life is about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we're trying to serve Him, and we all have a lot of different jobs in life. We have a lot of relationships, and we have a lot of jobs, and we have a lot of physical jobs, and we have a lot of spiritual jobs, and it's all about, the bottom line is how is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to be greater? How am I going to make Torah really part of my life? Comes along the Ramban, the great Nachmanides from Spain, 1194 to 1270, and the Ramban says something amazing in the Nesi'im, Parshas Nesi'im. Parshas Naso. For all those in America, Parshas Naso. Says the Ramban that the reason why Hashem is going over and over all the Nesi'im is to show us the power of the individual. That the details matter. Details matter. People matter. Our actions matter. That I'm going to tell you all the things of the Nesi'im. And I'm going to go and I'm going to say in detail again and again. But it's not just the same. It's not repetitive. It's showing that each individual is an olam mole. Each individual is his own world. As the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Bishvili Nivra Olam. And a person needs to realize this. Again, a couple weeks ago, we spoke about the individual, we spoke about the tzibur, we spoke about being part of Klal Yisrael, and we just got the title, the Shavuos. But now we're talking about the individual. And we'll bring it out, obviously, about the tzibur also. But we're talking about the individual. And we all have the ability for greatness. We all, the little things matter. Yeshiva recently just ended. And they have this special thing. They go on top of the roof of one of the Beis Medrash. And all the boys are given 2 minutes. And they're able to, you know, reflect. You get to see a lot of personalities come out. Some joking guys and some serious. But, you know, moved pretty well this year. And there was one thing. Again, there were a lot of things that stuck out in my mind. I was listening because I wanted to see, you know, the guys that are going to be in my shiur next year. I mean, I don't know exactly who's going to be there. But, you know, I get to feel it out, the emotional basket cases, whatever. We don't have to talk about it, but we do. And, you know, the guys that are very emotional, the guys that put themselves down, a lot of personalities that come out of that night. There was one kid that said that he was having a very hard time in yeshiva. Again, I don't know the exact details. He was in the hospital, and he was having a lot of emotional issues. And a guy sent him a text. I heard you're not feeling so well. You're going through a tough time. I'm thinking about you. I don't even know you so well. And when I heard that, again, you know, like certain things in life just stick out to us. That stuck out to me. Because it showed me the power of the individual. It showed me that one guy that doesn't even really know this person, he thanked him publicly. And he said, you saved my year. I was ready to call my father. It was on a Friday morning. It was really early in America. And I was ready to call my father and tell him I have to get out of here. This is not good for me. And when I saw that a guy that doesn't even know me texted me, how are you? My whole year changed. My whole life changed because of a text. Wow. The power of an individual. And we have to realize how much power we each have. What a smile to someone can do. What a good word, so what it could do for someone. You know, we put ourselves down too much. We got to bring ourselves up. Just a nice word. Just saying hello. Getting out of our comfort zone. That's so crucial. And again, everyone has different personalities. Some people are more outgoing than others. But just smiling at someone. You know, they tell so many different stories. They tell a story, the great Reb Pincus. He was actually nifter in a very tragic car accident. So he used to have a lot of tapes and all his sfarim are coming out and his beautiful sfarim in English that was translated. It's beautiful. Reb Pincus sfarim, they're amazing. Again, it doesn't mean my haskama, but they're amazing. And I remember I used to have his tapes. Back in the day, they had something called the tape recorder. Right, I don't know if anyone knows, right? I know my parents, you know, when I didn't have shoes, you know, I know, listen, I'm not that old, but I'm just saying, they used to have a tape recorder. And I had tapes of everything, because I remember him telling one story. I might have said the story again, I don't even know what I say anymore. Good things, Baruch Hashem, I hope. So, Reb Pincus was saying that he was married to a chasana, and he didn't even know who it was, but he knew it was a very chashid person, so he went to the chasana. And he went to the chasana, and you know how it always works at the chasana. What happens is the chasan, he dances with the father and the father-in-law, and then his rebbe, and then you know there's a big gadol, one of the gedolim are there, and then he gets his friends, you know, the family, the whole thing. You know, you're rated on when you dance, right? What dance do you dance with the chasan? What number? What friend? Right? You see some chassanim that are very active looking for their friends. Some are not. Everyone's different. And Reb Pincus says, it's gavaldik, it was crazy, that right after the chassan danced with his father and then the father-in-law, he grabs Reb Pincus in the middle. And Reb Pincus is so, like, not sure what's going on. Of course, he's going to dance with him. And then after the dance, again, you know, it was a couple minutes, and then he danced with everyone else. And after the dance, the chassid came over to him. And he said, Reb Pincus, I know you don't even know who I am, but I just want to tell you, you saved my life. Rapunzel's like, I don't know who you are. What's the deal? What are you saying? I saved your life. She said, I'll tell you how you saved my life. My father was learning in Ponovitch, and my father was going through a hard time. And he was making a decision. Do I leave Ponovitch? Do I not leave Ponovitch? And he made up in his mind, it's not for him. He's not learning well. His chavrusas aren't going well. Shir's not going well. And he was done. And he was leaving the Beis Medrash. And he was walking out. And you, the Rechotsh of a guy in Ponovitch, you came over to him and said, I have a gevaldik kasha. I need a teretz. Can you tell me the teretz? And you got him involved. And you started talking to him, being friendly. And that whole, that conversation saved his life. Because he realized that he could make it. The power of an individual, the power of our words. We don't even realize how powerful the smile, what a smile could do to some people. A good morning, right? The famous story, we all know this story, right? Of the shluchim. Maybe I'm telling the story wrong, but you get the idea. The shluchim, every single morning, they would go, they were working in the meat factory, and every morning when they would go in, they would say good morning to the guard. And then when they would leave, they would say good evening. And then one day, the guards, like they said, we got to lock up. The guard said, no, I can't lock up. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, we got to shut down the place. Like, what's the deal? And he's like, no, I'm telling you, we can't. He's like, but no one's here. He's like, I'm telling you, they're here still. And they went in, and what happened? They got locked in the freezer. They got locked in. And the guard realized, because they say good night every, good evening, good night every night, and they didn't say it. And if it was overnight, they would have froze to death, chas v'shalom. The power of our words, the smile. That's what the Nesi'im says, the Ramban. The Nesi'im show us the power of the individual. That everyone, we don't even realize what we could do. We're so limited, we feel like we're nothing. But we need to get out of that. We have to realize how great we are. And how even sending a text, a hello, I'm thinking about you. A smile. What the effects are. We have to realize that. And when we realize how great what we can do, then we can start affecting others. The more you build yourself, and the more you work on yourself, the greater you're going to affect someone else. And that's also in Parshas Naso, the idea of the Nazir. It's a discussion the Gemara is trying to figure out. Is another Nazir a good thing or a bad thing? A whole Shiloh, what a Nazir is. Some people think, you know, a Nazir is extreme. He just grabs onto the Naziris. You have to do things gradual. Again, there's different shitas here and there of what a Nazir is all about. But a Nazir, the greatness of a Nazir is, again, as we spoke about last week, the idea of learning from the Sota and saying, I'm going to take action. I'm going to build myself. I'm going to take action. And if I take action, I'm greatness. And that's why a Nazir is able to hit such high levels of spirituality, because he says, I'm going to take action. And when a person builds himself and he realizes that he can do anything, then afterwards he realizes, he gives out those smiles and he gets out of himself. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in Parshas Baal Oischa. Beautiful. My grandfather, Rav Bamzer, Olam Shalom, was a Talmud of Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe, in his Godless, writes beautifully this idea, this Yisod. How does it work? What is Mizrahi saying? How is it possible that you have both? How can Mizrahi say that Rashi, the definition of Baal Oischa, is that the Nair could go by itself, and furthermore, that a person takes the candle and he looks and he steps into the menorah and cleans it out? Says Rav Moshe this idea. Says Rav Moshe that a person needs to clean himself out and he needs to work hard. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But he works. He works through his hardships and he works through his midas and he breaks himself and he builds. And he says, I could do it. And then after, when he does that, he gives over. And what's the greatest gift that any mechanic, that any parent can give over to their child is the idea of the candle going by itself, me'aleha, giving them the strength to take on challenges, not giving up, the flame just going out by itself. That's the goal. That's the goal of any parent. That's the goal of any Rebbe. That's the goal, that we have the ability to go me'aleha by ourselves. Baruch Hashem, I was given that from my parents. To me'aleha, and that's my goal, me and my wife's goal, to give over to our kids, me'aleha. But the only way to do it is to build yourself. You first clean out the menorah, you clean out yourself, and then me'aleha, and then it will just come by itself, because they'll see it. Aaron just wanted more. He just wanted more. He didn't want to give up. Right? Rashi brings down in Baluska. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that Aaron, right in the beginning of Baluska, Rashi says, Vayaskein Aaron, Pasuk Gimel, Lagid Shvachol Shel Aaron Shaloshina. He didn't deviate from anything. And everyone's asking, what do you mean he didn't? He's Aaron. What do you mean he didn't deviate? Says the Sfas Emes, the Gemaldic Sfas Emes. That what does it mean he didn't deviate? Is because it didn't become routine. It was always something new. It was always some level of his chadshus. It was always, wow, I'm going to get more mitzvahs. Wow, more and more. I'm going to get more. That's what Aaron represented. He wanted more. Says the great Ramban, famous Ramban. The Ramban again, 1194 to 1270, says, what are we talking about? What is the mitzvah l'doiro? Says the Ramban. It's the mitzvah of the menoiro. Chanukah, the illusion of Chanukah, very famous Ramban, that the Maccabim, they were put, and they, what was going to happen? And no, says, what happened? We were able to fight against Yavon, and we were able to persevere. That's what Aaron represents, never deviating, always his conscience, always renewal, always newness. Vayaskein Aaron. He loved it. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ibn Attar from Morocco, 1696 to 1743, says a little different Nekuda. He questions the Ramban a little, and he says, there's a Gemara in Menachis, the Gemara has a Machlekes. Was the menorah only one piece? We know. It says, Vized, this. It was one piece, but maybe there was a little thing that came off, a little cup that came off. Maybe that was detachable. Says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, if I lived in the time of the Tanoim, I would give a pshat that it has to, he writes this, he would say that it has to be detachable, that the little cups were detachable. Why? Because the menorah has rayas, he has like four or five proofs of this, but the menorah is about his chadshus, renewal, was the idea that I'm just going to be renewed with my mitzvahs, I'm going to have fuel. That's what Torah is about. It's not just, you know, around tefillin, no. Did I put tefillin on or not? He doesn't even know. And it's hard. But it's his chadshus, beauty, what Hashem has given us, the life of meaning, the life of Torah. That's what Aaron represents. And then it's found right after Baluska, Pesach Sheni, that they wanted to just keep on getting more mitzvahs. They didn't. They said, I want more. Oh, I'm Tomei, the Gemara in Sukkah, Chavav, Chavhei, right? I'm Tomei, but no, I want another opportunity. It's this idea that I don't view mitzvahs as a burden. Who views mitzvahs as burdens or who views mitzvahs as opportunities? I don't view my mitzvahs as a burden. I view it as an opportunity for greatness, to show my connection to Hashem. That's what Pesach Sheni, right after Baluska. What about the backwards nuns? What about the backwards nuns? So different pshatim. Again, there's so much to do, so little time. Can't bore the oilam. We're coming close to a half hour already. Get in there. So I heard two pshatim of the backwards nuns. Very interesting. Right before the pasuk of the backwards nuns, it says, right before Vayibin saw Aaron. So it says Vayisu. So the Alter Slobotka says that why does it say Vayitsu? Vayitsu mehar Hashem, pasuk lamed gimel. We know that when we were in Yamsuf, it says Vayisa, lashon yachid. And over here it says plural. So I remember one saying this a long time ago, and I saw it again. The Alter Slobodka says, is that Rashi brings down from the Medrash that when they were in Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them that they had all the booty and all the great things from the Mitzrim, and they were getting all of it. Moshe said, come on, go, we got to go, we got to get the Torah. But you saw, they were all together because they wanted, again, I'm not here to chastise Klal Yisrael, but they wanted the booty. Vayisu me'ar Hashem, says the Alter Slobodka. Vayisu, they journeyed from Hashem. They didn't grab on. They wanted to just leave they didn't want to grab on to all the mitzvahs. Right? They just wanted to go and journey. That was the first. That was the sin, perhaps. What was the sin? Right? Rashi says to distinguish, because they wanted to make a distance between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, because they said, no, I don't want to journey. I don't want to work hard. And they didn't want the Torah 100%. Vayisu, it should be Vayisa. I want it. I can't. I got to grab on. That's what we're saying now. We got to hop on to our mitzvahs. The more we appreciate our mitzvahs, the more we appreciate what we have in front of us, the more the Judaism is going to be real. What about the backwards nuns? Why the nuns? So I once heard of Gavaldik, and I said this idea before. Right, when I spoke in Teshiva over Shavuos, I said, listen, no one really remembers the Dvar Torah, it's just the stories. So you'll probably remember the stories. I actually have a good story at the end. Not so much that. Why the backwards nuns? Why the nuns? So nun represents nuna, a fish. A nuna is a fish. Why nun? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe, minamayim mishisuhu. Moshe had a lot of names, Avigdor, Yered, he brought down the Torah, right? And he has so many names. Why do we go by Moshe? So water, as we know, water refers to conformity. Whatever you put water in, it's going to conform. You put water in a box, it will be the shape of a box. Put a triangle in a triangle. What's a nuna? A nuna is a fish. A fish jumps out, right? The Gemara in Tainus and Brachas, I think, jumps out, little drops. He jumps out, he wants more. When a fish is going upstream, he's a nuna. Nuna represents by heap and saw our own. We need this is what the idea that I'm saying, that we need to jump. We need to, whoa, I just knocked down the chumash from my jumping. I'm sorry. Right? We need to jump to the Torah. We need to grab on. Like a fish grabbing onto the water. Give me more. That's a nuna. We have to go upstream. We can't conform. Why is Moshe called Minamai Mishisu? Because Moshe said, even though I came from the palace, I was a son, right? I was raised in Paro's palace. Still, I'm not going to conform to society. I'm not going to give in. I can give in. It's easy to give in. I have everything in front of me on a silver platter, but I'm not going to give in. Minamayim, Nuna, Vayihimins all around. Why is it bracketed Nuna? To show that we need the love, the Torah, and the mitzvahs. Wow. We have the opportunity for the Torah and the mitzvahs. Make it real. So this is the idea. Again, the power of the individual. Obviously, after a person becomes an individual, he goes out and then he affects the seaboard. And he gets out of himself, as we speak about all the time. But it's this love of mitzvahs. That's the idea. So we're answering all the questions here. We're answering all the questions. Question one was the Nisim. Why so much detail of the Nisim? The reason why so much detail of the Nisim is to show me the power of the individual. Again, the power of the individual. Why Baloska Saneros and Ramosha Feinstein? That we build ourselves, and after we build ourselves, then we could take, we build it, and then Me'aleha. We want, that's what we want. We want for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren that they're able to go by themselves in the path of Hashem. And why the nuns? Because Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayisu. They didn't preach it as much as they could. They wanted to get away. No, but we have to be wanting the mitzvahs. The more we want, the more it's part of us. Right? Just to end off, they tell a story of a king. The king, they would get, the way they would get a king every year, they would get some stam person and he would become the king. And after a year, they'd say, get out of here, you're not the king anymore. So after the fourth or fifth king, he started realizing, this is so weird, like after I see what's going on, there's a pattern. So what did he start doing? While he was the king, he started like sending out, you know, monies and different things to different places while he was king. Because he knew that at the end of the year, he would his kingship would be up. And then he would have nothing. But now at least while he's the king, he can do whatever he wants. And then what happened? At the end of the year, they said, get out of here. You're not the king anymore. And he said, ah, okay. But guess what? He had fortunes and houses and palaces and different places all over the world. This is a Gevalt Hesach of Chaim. This is the mashal for us. The more Torah and the more mitzvahs, like we're saying now, the fire of Torah, the fire of mitzvahs, to enjoy what we're doing. We got to make it real. We got to learn about it also. But the more we get, this is eternity. This is what we're here for. We're here to bring those mitzvahs that are going to bring us to the next world, to bring it further and further. That's what we're here for. And we forget. We get so caught up in everything. Right, the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. Someone was coming and they wanted to, again, this is a big story, it's a hard story to live by. They came to the Chafetz Chaim and he didn't have so much furniture. And they came to the Chafetz Chaim and they said, you're going to a door. Why don't you have furniture? So he turns to this reporter and says, why don't you have furniture? He said, I'm just passing through. So the Chafetz Chaim turned to him and said, so am I. So am I. We have to live that way. We have our mitzvahs. But again, our whole tafkid to build ourselves. The texts. And the smiles and being, saying hello to people, these are huge. What the kayach we have, we don't even know what we have. But then we affect others, but we gotta live like an Aaron. The love of Torah, the love of mitzvahs, I just want more. The Pesach Sheni, then more, more, more. If we bring Torah and we make it real to our lives are gonna be awesome, Bezat Hashem. Let's have an amazing Shabbos. Let's just bring the Torah. Parshas Noso, Parshas Baaloyscha, the fire that we got from a Shavu is bringing into our lives in a real sense. And let us just keep on growing all together, learning Torah, doing the mitzvahs, and realizing how lucky we are to be part of this awesome nation. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing.